Boker Tov world. Today's daf in the second Kedushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Dalet. And yesterday we got about one fifth of the way down. We're in the middle of the Sugya of Ne'emanut. We spoke yesterday about people that are Ne'eman on the spot. And one of the cases we were dealing with was a nurse in a delivery room, Chaya, to be believed as to which one of the children was the Bechor. And once we got into that, the Gemara wants to add today cases where there are other people who would be Neman to testify on a Bechor. So we got up to Omer of Nachman, right after Shuddah the Dayani, about a fifth of the way down. Omer of Nachman, Shlosha Ne'amanim ala Bechor. There's actually three people that are believed to say which one of the children was the Bechor, Elohim. One we saw yesterday, that's the Chaya. The other is Aviv, and the other is Imo. Now, yesterday we established that the Chaya is only La'alter, and remember we had a machlokas, whether La'alter means so long as she is in the birthing room, or it means so long as she literally hasn't turned away. The mother is believed for the first 7 days, because the father has not yet had a chance to actually bond with this child. It's before the bris milah. He doesn't really have anything to do with him yet. And it's the mother who's entirely in charge. So she's the only one that can really identify the babies. And after that, Aviv is always believed for the rest of his life, because that is a chiddush in the Torah. Et ha-bechor ben asnu'a yakir. Kidatanya. When it says et ha-bechor ben asnu'a yakir, it means not just that he has to accept the fact that this is the Bechor, but Yakir means he can be Makir that Bechor to others. Do you want to say, may I introduce an Yochol Akir? Okay, so that's exactly what it means. Let me introduce my firstborn son. And that means that he's the person that can do that. He can tell other people, Acherim, this is the one that is the Bechor. Mikan Omar Rebuna. So then that means that it's not talking to his psychology. It's talking about the legal Ne'emanut. Therefore, says Rebuna, from here you see that Ne'eman Adam Lomar Ze Bini Bechor. And I suggest, says Rebuna, now we'll see that not everybody agrees to this, that Kashem Shi Ne'eman Lomar Ze Bini Bechor, Kach Ne'eman Lomar Ze Bini Ben Grusha, Ze Bini Ben Kalutza. He's also believed to apostle him from a kahuna. So how do we know that? How does that follow from Yakirino? There's a Bechor. We have two very fascinating ways of deriving that halacha. So Tosis, first of all, suggests that when it says that Bechor ben Asnua Yakir, it's saying that even if a person has, let's say he's got five kids, right? And he claims that the youngest kid is his Bechor. Now, that's saying that all my other kids are mamzerim, because they're not my kids. So then that would mean that innately, in his being able to say that this is my Bechor, it's also saying that he can tell us which ones are possible. But then Tosfos says that he has a raya from the Yerushalmi, that it's a direct inference from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, remember, that achat ha'ovav achat snu'a. We learned before, what does snu'a mean? Snu'a b'nisu'eha. That the Torah says there's something wrong with the marriage. So if there's something wrong with the marriage, so then that means there is a marriage. So we're not talking about mamzer. We're not talking about a yisurei erva that would create a mamzer. We're talking about something wrong with the marriage, like where kedushin is taifsim, like a case of an yisur lav, which would have created a psul of chalalut. So when it's saying et ha-bechor ben hasnua yakir, it's saying he can say, this is the child from the woman that I wasn't allowed to marry. Okay, so then he's saying that it's a Ben Gerusha, he's saying it's a Ben Chalutzer, it's a Halal. But basically, the Pasuk is saying this, and that's the Mashmaut of the Yerushalmi Sestesis, which is a beautiful deal. V'chachachamim omrim, eino ne'eman. Torah didn't say that he's believed directly on that, and therefore, we don't go along with Rebbe Yehuda on this part. Okay, now we're off of that topic about the nature of Ne'emanus, the Gabi Bechor. Let's get back to the Mishnah. We have that strange ending of the Mishnah that Abba Shaul Ayakore Lishtuki Biduki. What exactly does that mean? Biduki? Biduki would only mean check him out, right? So what would that mean? That Botki Netimo? so that we can check him out. I mean, how are we going to check him out with DNA? We didn't have DNA tests in those days. So it would have to mean that we check him out by questioning. So botkinatimo. So we question the mother and we get out of her. Okay, so, you know, who got you pregnant? Now, if she says, Lakosha Nivalti, so then she was in their minutes. That's what Rabbi Shaul would be saying. So why should you call him a shtuki as a new category of psul? We find out who the mother says got her pregnant. You know, wait, 1 second. That's the whole big issue that we had back in Sufis, remember? So in other words, this would be the big machlokas about whether we believe a woman to say that so-and-so is the father. That was the Mishnah in Sufis. It's not. This would be going according to Rabbi Gamliel. But that we had in the Mishnah already before, because it says in Ksuvis, Haita mu'uberet, v'amru lamati voshel uberzeh, and she says, oh, it's so-and-so was the father, and he's a Kohen, and so on. So Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer say that we believe her in this case, which seems to be exactly what Abba Shaul would be saying over here if we ask her. I mean, you could have just said, instead of saying Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, you could have said Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, and Abba Shaul. Or you could have said, V'chein omar Rabbi Abba Shaul Kedvorov. I mean, why would we need a separate Mishnah to tell us something that we already learned in Ksumas? It's Rabbi Yeshua who says over there, Lo mipi anu chay, why should we believe her? And, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Gamliel. So, okay. So then the issue here is completely repetitious. So that can't be what he's saying. Says, well, no, it's not repetitious. Actually, Abba Shaul is taking it a step further. Because Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer were talking over there in terms of her yichus. In other words, can she marry a Kohen or not? So they were saying yes. So she says that she didn't sleep with the guy that was Osir. After the guy that got her pregnant was a Kohen. Okay, so then what's the problem of her subsequently marrying a Kohen? But Abba Shaul, in this context, what are we talking about over here? Over here, we're talking about the questions of Yichus in terms of who you're allowed to marry. So that means that we're talking about her child, and that we're saying her child would be mutter to marry a Kohen. Right? I mean, that's the whole thing. Is that what we're talking about? We asked the mother of the shtukis. It's referring to the shtukis, right? And it's saying that she can marry a Kohen. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, I mean, it says, fine, if she's a past Kohen, she's allowed to continue eating truma and so on, but it has nothing to do with Yichusim. So we needed this mission in order to talk about Yichusim. Now, wait a second. Don't you remember back in Ksuvis, we had a big question about whether the Psak of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer is in fact also determining the status of the child. Because we had over there Machlokas, whether the Divrei HaMakshir Ba posel bibita, or the Divrei HaMakshir Ba makshir bibita. So, okay, if you hold, according to the Mandi Omer in Ksuvis, who said that even Reb Gamliel is saying that she is kosher for Truma and so on, but that doesn't mean that her daughter is considered to be, we're going to rely on her about who got her pregnant to say that the daughter is allowed to marry a Kohen. That we wouldn't do. So then fine, we need Abba Shaul to tell me something that Rabbi Gamliel never held. Couldn't just include it with V'chein Omer Abba Shaul. But according to the Mandi Omer over there in Ksuvis, who says that Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Gamliel, that once you're makshir her frachilas truma, or she's kshera lakuna, so then that would mean that by definition, her daughter is going to be kosher lakuna. Then Abba Shaul is just repeating the same thing. So then mayata lashmina, what in the world is Abba Shaul adding? No, says Gemara, even according to this, there's still an addition that we wouldn't have known from the Mishnah service. Because look, let's say that we would have just the case in service, okay? I'm telling you, Abba Shaul goes way beyond Rabbi Gamliel. Because let's say we had that Mishnah in the Ksuvis, I would have said, Hava Mina, that what we're talking about over there is basically what the case is over there. That Rov Kisheri Metzla, so basically everybody in town is really kosher for Yichus. And therefore, why would we have a problem? If she, let's say, is a Pnuya, okay, so if she's a Pnuya, then There's nobody that's usher to sleep with her, other than people that would pasul, mamserim, shtukim, whatever. But in that city, we don't have a serious problem with that kind of thing. So why would I say that she is not believed? Over there, we believe her. But how about where most of the people are actually pasul? Let's say that she's an arusa. So then the only one that she could claim that got her pregnant that wouldn't cause a psul would be her own fiancé, right? Okay, so anybody else that got her pregnant, she's got basically a problem of mamzeres. Or even if she's not an arusa, but she's living in a city where most of the people are psulim on some level, you know, nesini, mamzeri, whatever. So hech l'rov psulim etzla, I would say that we don't believe her. So what Abishol is saying is not at all what Rabbi Gamliel is saying. He's going way beyond it. So he's saying that we never have to worry. Omar Rava, and that's the din. Halacha ki Abba Shaul. What are we going to do over here? It looks like Doc is all on his own. Okay, Doc, take it away.
Zok the Helika Mishnah.
I don't know, Doc. I think you're getting affected by some of the Hasidim around here. That was a good half a second longer than the normal lit for Shagirsa. All right, so we'll reach a happy medium. So now we're going to talk about further inyanim and wonder about why these inyanim are not included in the first Mishnah. So over here, the Tanakhama says that kol ha'asurim lavo b'kahal, mutarim lavo zeh b'zeh. Now, this seems to be very repetitious. So what is this saying? That a mamzer is allowed to marry a shtuki, and a shtuki is allowed to marry an asufi, or a mamzer, so on and so forth. I mean, it said that. It said that in the opening mission of Asur Yuchsin. The Gemara will ask that. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says, no, they're not. Now, what exactly is the cases of no, they're not, that Rabbi Yehuda is referring to? We'll discuss. Rabbi Elazar says, Vada'an bevada'an are mut. So where we know that they're the same, so you're talking about mamzerim. That would, somebody interrupting? Ari, Calvin.
Sorry, baby.
Oh my goodness. Oh. Put down the sunroof.
It was in my pocket, sorry.
Okay. So Rabbi Elazar says, no. The status is defined only by vada'ut. I mean, so how would you allow someone who might be kosher to marry a mamzer? Or somebody who might be a mamzer to marry someone who's kosher? So if you know what his status is of psul, yes, that's true. But if you don't know, so for a valai to marry a suffik, or a suffik to marry a valai, or a suffik to marry a suffik, where one might be kosher, one might be psul, that is usher. So this is, even though we were medayik before, that we were only talking about kahal vadai, and we were only talking about mamzer vadai. But remember that we said before that the Rabbanon made special din when it came to yuchsin to be more makbitz. That was called ma'ala asubi yuchasim. So this is the shita of Rabbi Elazar. So all of those are us. When we talk about sveikan, so who are the sveikan? Shtuki, asufi, v'chuti. Now, this is interesting because he's adding a new category of suffix, which is kusi, which the Gemara will discuss. What is this new category of suffix? Says the Gemara, my kol ha'asurim lo vo b'kahal. So what are we referring to? Are we referring to, I mean, only thing I can think of is that we're referring to the very things that we already had spoken about the Farish in the first Mishnah. I mean, like, is there anything new here? Do you mean what we meant originally? That mamzeri, nesini, shtuki, asufi, and that those kol ha'asurim lavo b'kahal are allowed to marry each other? It says that in the first Mishnah. Natani l'resha. It says beferish, quote, mamzeri, netine, shtuki, asufi, mutarim lavo zebesam. It can't get more clear than that. And then, how do you explain this addition of Rabbi Yehuda Oser? Rabbi Yehuda Oser, what's Rabbi Yehuda's problem? Why is Oser? What, is he coming to say the problem that Rabbi Elazar raises? That what, Reb Yehuda Osir, because you can't allow a Vadai to marry a Suffolk and a Suffolk to marry a Suffolk. No, because in the end it says, Reb Elazar, he's the one who says, Vadov Vadon Mutar, and Vadon Besveker, 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 and Besveker. That means that up until we got to Reb Elazar, which includes the opinion of Reb Yehuda, that is not what we're saying. So then what is Reb Yehuda saying? Because it's clear that Reb Yehuda doesn't agree with Reb Elazar. Now, I know what you're going to say, but it doesn't make any sense. You're going to say, the truth is, if we look back over the entire sugya, there's only one thing that we heard from Reb Yehuda that is different than anybody else. And that was the question of whether a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres. Remember, so that was the whole question that we discussed yesterday, the day before, it's in the machlokas with Reb Yossi and Reb Yehuda. And maybe that's what it meant. But, and Reb Yehuda Oser means that Reb Yehuda holds that a ger is Oser Lamamzeres. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. The Tanakhama never mentioned that case. So how could you say Reb Yehuda Oser on a case that was not mentioned? I mean, he'd have to just introduce that comment, and he doesn't. Mide, ger b'mamzeres katani, did anybody ever mention that issue that he should say it? What it said was, kol ha'asurim lavo b'kahal katani, only people that are also lavo b'kahal. I mean, how could that be gerim? That's crazy. Gerim also lavo b'kahal? So how would Reb Yehuda say also? No. So it can't be talking about the case of a ger. So what was Reb Yehuda saying in the context of this Mishnah? So Amar, Reb Yehuda, I will explain to you what Reb Yehuda was saying in the Mishnah. First, let's understand that the Mishnah is not just repeating the first Mishnah in the Perek. It's not talking about Kol Asuri, meaning the Mamzeri and the Nesine. No. The way to understand Asurim Lavo B'Kahal of this Mishnah is that we're talking about a brand new meaning of Kahal. What our Mishnah was introducing is Kol Asurim Lavo B'Kahal Kuhuna. Oh, we got a completely new concept over here. Being, remember that we did learn that we had these five different mentions of Kahal Hashem, and one of them is a reference to Kahal Kuhuna as being a unique Kahal Hashem. Exactly. So that's what our Mishnah was saying. First Mishnah, that was talking about Surah Kahal, meaning Kahal Yisrael. This Mishnah is adding that wherever you have someone who is Osir Lavo B'Kahal Kuhuna, and it's got to be referring to some new case, okay? What would that case be? What are we talking about over here that would be a big chiddush? Big chiddush would be that in the event, what do we hold? Halacha l'maisa. In the event that you have a gioret who was less than 3 years old when she became Jewish, so she is not considered to be included in any of the chishashos of psulei kuhuna, because all of the psulei kuhuna come entirely from the question of whether she went through a Bia Asurala, right? But if she's less than 3 years old, remember, she doesn't have any genitals. So how could she possibly have become a Pasul Kuhuna? Remember that Lahalacha, immature genitals are not genitals at all. Male under the age of 9, female under the age of 3, and therefore, she should be muteret completely to a Kohen. Now, the only thing is that is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's shita. Then the whole point over here that the Mishnah would be saying is there's a shita that does not believe that and argues on Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And when it says, Kol ha'isurim lavo b'kuhunes, we're talking about a new issue now, my new, Gioret chutami bat shalosh shalim v'yom echad. So this is a Gioret who does not have genitals, and therefore she should be Kshera. And we're saying that she's a Surin Lavo B'Kahal Kuhuna because we're going against the Shita of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, according to which she would be Muteret. And what would be the Moker of that Shita? Well, we'll see later on that the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai because of a brand new concept. And I'm sure you all remember this from the Haftorah in Yechezkel. A crazy Haftorah that says that Kohanim are only allowed to marry bitulot mizera beis Yisrael. Like, what? What does that mean? We're talking about all Kohanim, And now, and we're talking about all kohanim have to marry besulais, and there's some kind of chiddush that they're marrying besulais that will have to be Jewish. It's one of these mad psukim in Yechezkel which make absolutely no sense until you recognize that it's telling us this completely new din that they were makabel. And what is that? That is that a child, that's what we're saying, a child who is a besula, meaning that by definition she's a psula, even if she was having sex her whole life, she's still a psula because she doesn't have any genitals. So she's psula bat shalosh shanim. So that's what it's saying is, even that is only Mizera Beis Yisrael. So that would mean that a Gioris Pochus Mishalosh Shanim would be also. So it's a brand new Diak in Yechezkel. It has nothing to do with the halacha of Rav Shimon bar Yochai. And our mission is coming to be Meramesh to that case, that someone who is a Osir Lavo B'Kal Kuhuna, because of the Shita of the Chachamim, is all part of allowing them to marry into each other. So what's it saying? That even though this woman, though she was Pachas B'Shalosh Shanim, is Asura to a Kohen, but she is allowed to marry a Mamzer. So apparently that he would hold that that would mean Kahal Gerim is not considered to be Kahal. That is what Reb Yehuda is saying. No, I disagree. And indeed, that is exactly what Reb Yehuda has been very vehemently disagreeing with all through this parak. And he says there's no such thing as Gerim not being part of the same Kahal Hashem as everyone else. And therefore, of course, it's Aser. Fine. Okay, so that would be a way that we could trick this Mishnah into actually referring to the very thing that we know Reb Yehuda was focused on. And that is that he was Medayik from the Mishnah. Kahal must be adding something. So it's adding the Asur Lavo B'Kahal Koyanim. But then that would be saying that if she's a Gioret, even though she can't marry a Kohen, that then she could marry a Mamzeret or a Mamzer. No, I disagree. Fine. Wait a second, Audrey. Boy, did you get me confused with all of that. Whew. We got way too much information here. Why in the world did we get involved in how old she is? I don't understand. You create this whole machlokas. It's going like the Tadakama, the Chachamim will argue with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Where do you get that from? Why can't we just say that the Mishnah is saying she's 3 years old, it's going according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, and she's a sura to a Kohen, that's what it's saying, sura lavo b'kahal kahuna, she is muteret to marry a mamzer, which is what you're basically saying anyway. I understand why did you confuse the issue by talking about whether she is 3 years old, she's not 3 years old. It was very simple. That's because you're not thinking it out. You don't understand. So, okay, let's assume for a moment that that would be what the Mishnah is saying. So then the Mishnah would make no sense because mitzida tavra means you've got the axe to bust that assumption right there next to your other hand. Because then take a look what the implications would be in the Mishnah. It would mean that taima the bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad, that the only reason that you're telling me she's a surah in Kahal Kahuna is because she's over 3 years old, right? But let's say that she's not. Let's say that she became a Gioret, meaning that her parents obviously were Megayer her with them, the family became Gerim. Let's say that she was less than 3 years old. And in that case, she is Muteret Lavo B'Kahal Kahuna. So then the implication would be that she is Osir Lavo Zeh B'Zeh, because you're saying only if she's on the level of Kedusha, where she is Mutter Lavo B'Kahuna, then at that point she cannot marry a Mamzer. But that's not true. Because, look, if she were less than Shalosh Shanim Yom Echad, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that case itself is Muteret Lavo B'Kahal Kahuna, and if you're holding, like the Tanakama, who says over here that Kahal Gerim is not a Kahal, so then what's the difference how old she was? So then they would be mutter to marry Mamzerim and the Sinim and Shtukim and so on. So that would mean that the very diuk in the Klal runs against the halacha that the Klal itself is coming to explain. You understand how ridiculous that is? So obviously can't be referring to that case because it would leave open a diuk that is wrong. So basically, the Tadakama, the Mishnah, what we're talking about over here is saying, I don't care how old she is, because I can't leave open a case to make a diyuk, but if she is Muteres V'Koyin, then she's a Surah L'Mamzer, because that's not true. Which means that the Tanakhama's got to be talking about any Giyoret of any age, in order that there shouldn't be such an implication, right? That's why Rev Yudah said so. Obviously, the Mishnah is not going to leave it to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because it's taken for granted that any Giyoret is a Surah L'Koyin, and that's not true according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Hold on a second. If that's the way you're reading the Mishnah, then it's not true. It's simply not true. What this is the klal, that as long as someone is usher lavo b'kal kuhuna, she's allowed to marry a mamzer. Ha! Ridiculous! How about an almana? How about a grusha? How about a chalala? How about a zona? Is she allowed to marry a kohen? No. Is she allowed to marry a mamzer? What, are you crazy? Why would an almana be allowed to marry a mamzer? Of course not. Okay. So there we have a perfect example right there. There are Srim Lavobik al Kahuna, and they are most definitely not allowed to marry mamzerim and asinim and shnukim ipsulim. Excuse me. So that is a ridiculous way to read the Mishnah, not to mention the fact that the implications of the Mishnah also don't stand up to scrutiny. Because the implication of the Mishnah is that if you're Asur Lavo B'Kahal Kahuna, then and only then are you mutter to marry the mamzer, right? But the implication is, but if you were mutter to marry with the kohen, so then you would be Asur in a mamzer. But the whole point of the Tanna Kamma is that a ger is mutter in a kohenet, like Rava said yesterday, and at the same time, she's also mutter b'mamzeres, for heaven's sakes. So that means that the Mishnah is saying a rule that is simply not true. Not directly and not by implications. How, what a crazy way to read the Mishnah. Sorry. Chuck that, baby. Okay. I'll take a good shot. Elamer ibn Asimaroshai, I got an idea. We can figure out how the Mishnah would actually be referring to something that Rav Yudah was talking about. It would still make sense. Okay. What the Mishnah is saying is like this. Anyone whose daughter is usher in Kahal Kohanim. That's what it's saying. So in other words, anyone whose child, his female child, would be usher to be marrying into the kuhuna. And this has got to be talking about a whole new category we never talked about before. This would be going, a libet Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says later on in the parak that according to him, even a ger that marries a giyoret, is the child is considered to still be part of Kahal Gerim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who holds that, and that's not considered that to be Bikal Hashem, so then they would be Mutarm Lavo Zebezeb, because Aliba Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, since Kahal Gerim lo Yikri Kahal, and since a Gershon Lotzi Gioret, we consider the child to be part of this new kahal called kahal gerim, so therefore they would be allowed to marry mamzerim and asinim. That would be the chiddush of the Mishnah. And then, of course, Rabbi Yehuda would say, "What are you crazy? Of course that's not true, because a ger is considered to be kahal Hashem, and therefore is usher b'mamzerim." And that way, we can figure out that the Mishnah, even though on a casual read it doesn't seem to have anything to do with Rabbi Yehuda's shita about gerim being usher and mamzerim, turns out that if you fetch it in this direction, and it's talking about Kahal Kahuna, and it's talking about the daughter, so then things make sense. They do? They don't make sense. No, you're not getting anywhere. Kalolu, that would be true? That what? Anyone that a Kohen cannot marry their daughter is mutter to marry these psulim? What about a Halal? A Halal who marries a Bas Yisrael, assuming that we go according to the Chachamim, and therefore the daughter would be a Chalala, a Kohen would be usher to marry his daughter. Well, obviously, she's just like anybody else. She can't marry a Mamzer. And you're saying she can marry a Mamzer. It's a Surim Lavozeb, is it? No. Wait a minute. That's not such a big question. Because we had the Shita Reb Distoy Ben Yehuda. Remember, Reb Distoy Ben Yehuda's Shita was amazing. He said that a Bas Yisrael is actually a mikveh tahira for chaloim. Because if a cholo marries a non-kohenes, and they have a daughter, A Yisraelit cannot carry a concept of halalut. That's Reb Dostoyev's point. So the moment that they have a daughter, then that daughter is completely kshera lekahuna, which means that this halal has managed to wipe out the problem of his halalos, at least vis-a-vis his female descendants, right? Okay, so if you're going alib de Reb Dostoyev ben Yehuda, then it still makes sense. The daughter of a halal is indeed allowed to marry a kohen. There's no problem. Okay, but that ain't the only problem, my son. What about the case of a cholol who marries a cholol? Okay, now, is a kohen allowed to marry his daughter? No. But obviously, that cholol is not allowed to marry someone like a mamzer. That's absurd. That's one problem. And the implications of the Mishnah is another problem. The implication of the Mishnah is that in the event that this woman's daughter, this man's daughter, would be mutter to a kohen, then he's usher to marry a mamzer. That is also not true. Because the case of a ger who marries a bas Yisrael, obviously a kohen can marry his daughter, and the halacha is, if you hold like our Mishnah Tana Kama, which is that kal gerim lo ikre kahal, they would be allowed to marry a mamzer, and here it's saying they won't be allowed to marry a mamzer. Nothing about your explanation makes any sense, Rav Nachman. Sorry. Okay, let's try this again. Rav Nachman takes a chance at this. Ella, Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua. You know what this is all about? This is about something entirely different than what we've been talking about until now. We do have another issue that Rav Yehuda speaks about, is Nogea Yichusim, nothing to do with Gerim and all of this. It's a new topic. What's the new topic? The new topic is that we've been taking into consideration the definition of Mamzerus that's given in the analysis of Mamzeres and Yevames, and that would mean any of the Chayvei Kritut are Mamzerin. The thing is, though, that that's not what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Actually, that's what the Tana Kama holds, that any time that somebody has a child with an Isser Kares, that that child is a Mamzer, but that's not Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that only where the Isser that was involved in the marriage was an Isser Misa, let's say like an Eishes Ish. That's what a Mamzer is. But some kind of prohibition between two specific people that is just an Isser Koris, that does not produce a Mamzer. That's what we're talking about over here, it says Rav Nachman. Hocha Mamzer Me'achoto. The difference between the Tana Kama and Rav Yehuda is benogea, the din of mamzerut from, let's say, a sister, where there's no chiyuv of misa, or this din of a mamzer from an eshes ish. The Tana Kama holds, makes no difference. Any iser, even a mamzer that comes from an illicit relationship with one sister, which is chiyuv kares, is a mamzer. And that indeed is the normative approach that we've been taking. But thing is, that Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that only the child of an Eishes Ish, or the equivalent where there would be an Isser Misa, only there do we have Mamzerus. A child from a relationship with one sister is not considered to be a Mamzer. Okay, I mean, I'm not saying you can't read that into the Mishnah, but why the heck would this Mishnah be addressing that? Because we know that Beferish from the Mishnah in Yevomis. Why would we have another mention of a Mishnah in Yevomis here for no reason? My Kamashma and Tanino. That's Beferish in the Mishnah in Yevomis. Ezeu Mamzer, Koshu Belo Yavo, Divi Rabbi Akiva. Remember that was Rabbi Akiva Shita, that even in Isser Lav. Okay? But Shimonatim Niomer, no, it's only where Chayavim Alav Korez Bide Shamayim, and obviously, worse, where you would be Chiyav Misa, where there's also Chiyav Kares, we don't carry out Chiyav Misa. V'alocha Kedvarav, and that's how we paskin. And Rabbi Yoshua, Omer, no, only Kol Shechayavim Lav Misa's Bezdin. Okay, so, new. So what's your problem? We have these three Shitas clearly set out, and there's been no reason whatsoever to introduce this as a new machlokas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda when we've been through this a great length in Yevamos. So that can't be the pshat either. Oh, gosh, this is getting complicated. All right, so we are sort of stuck. What is the Mishnah adding that is not what the first Mishnah in the Perek said, and that would explain what Rabbi Yehuda was arguing about? And it's like, a conundrum here. I got an idea, says Rav. Ela Amar Rav, listen, I would say that the machlokas between Tana Kama and Rav Yehuda over here is benogea ager amoni umoavi. So an amoni moavi male is, in fact, osir lavo b'kahal. Forget about all this kahal kuna jazz, right? Okay, so the Tana Kama is saying like this. Kol asurim lavo b'kahal. And what is this including that we didn't talk about in the opening Mishnah? Ager amoni umoavi. They're allowed mutorim lavo zebeze. And Rabbi Yehuda Oser, excuse me, so why would Rabbi Yehuda Oser? So what are you saying? Yochimai Rabbi Yehuda Oser. What, we're just introducing a new din that we didn't bother mentioning before, and we forgot to mention that there's another Isser Lovo Bekal. And if that were the case, how could Rabbi Yehuda say that they're Oser and Mamzerim? No. The Mishnah doesn't mean he Osers. Because Afal Pish Rabbi Yehuda Oser Ger B'Mamzeres, it's true. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says that the din of Kahal Gerim is the same as Kahal Hashem, right? So what it's saying is, where does Rabbi Yehuda say that a ger is oser b'mamzeret, that Rabbi Yehuda is oser? That's only in a case hanimili ger the royal of Obe Kahal. There's a difference. If you're talking about a normal ger who doesn't come from Ammon and Moab, so the moment he becomes a Ben Yisrael, he's a Ben Yisrael like anyone else. But what about a ger who is not a ger like anybody else because he is Osir Lavo Bekal himself? Because Lo Yavo Amoni Umoavi Bekal Hashem. So there, a ger Amoni Umoavi, the Einam Ru'uyin Lavo Bekahal, there they're not Osir. And that's what it meant over here. The whole thing is rebuked. It's not that the Tana Kama over here. There is no Tana Kama. What Tana Kama? Rabbi Yehuda She'oser. Normally is matir in this case, a specific case of Amoni Moavi, but all other cases, Rabbi Yehuda Oser. That's the point. So it's giving just a broadening of the context of the psak of Rabbi Yehuda. We've been talking all along. Okay, this works, but man, you'd never think this up on your own, let me tell you. Tana Rabba. So ben teisha shalim v'yom echad. So let's say that we have a 9-year-old boy. So now he has genitals, and he's a ger amoni umoavi, or he's a mitzri or adomi, or maybe he's a kusi or a nesin, or a halal or a mamzer. And this post 9-year-old was bought on a kohenet or a levia or on a bas yisrael. So then he actually has passed her from eating truma, from marrying a kohen. Why? Because he's over 9 years old. Rabbi Yossi Omer, only kosher zaro pasul posel, but kosher ein zaro pasul ein o posel. If you're somebody whose own children would be pasul for marrying a kohen, so then he can pasul a woman from marrying into the kahuna. But anyone whose own child would not be pasul would not cause a psul in a woman from the truma or from the kahuna. So in other words, what we've been talking until now, we introduced this whole idea of a adomi. She's indeed, if he had a child, so the halacha would be that there's no heter to marry into the kahuna. So therefore, you're right. If the child is an Adomi and he sleeps with a woman, has nothing to do with it, whether it's married or not married, by definition, even if he dies, she is always going to be usher from a Kohen. Now, there doesn't seem to be anything different about what Rabbi Yossi just said, right? I mean, that's what the Tana Kama said. Every one of the people that he said, if a kid of 9 years old, who is Ger Amoni Moavi Mitzri Adomi Kutsi, I mean, that's exactly what he's talking about. He was talking about all of the cases where the child would indeed be pasul. So then it doesn't seem to be saying anything different. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Kol she'atanose et bito, atanose et almanato, which we've talked about before. If the child of this relationship, you would be allowed to marry the daughter So then you can also marry the woman himself, because she doesn't become psula lekahuna if her own child is not going to be psula. But in the event that you cannot marry the daughter, then koshiata no seyet bito miniata, you, the Kohen, cannot marry the daughter of this person. You cannot marry the almona either. Now, everybody seems to be saying the same thing. I mean, like, well, how does this differ from Rabbi Yossi? And how is that different from the Tanakhama? It's exactly the same. So what, says the Gemara, can you tell me the difference between these three shitas? Let's start with the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Ma'ika ben Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi. Every single example that the Tanakhama said is an example of someone whose child is Osir Nekuhuna. So all that Rabbi Yossi does is he says what the Tanakhama says in other words. And he says, well, if their children are ushered to a Kohen, well, that's what I said. So what's the difference? Om Reb Yochan, there is a difference. There's one difference. Because the difference would be a Mitzri Sheni. Remember, you're not allowed to marry a Mitzri Sheni, but you are allowed to marry a Mitzri Shlishi. So according to the Tanakhama, so if you slept with this boy who is a Mitzri Sheni, so then that would pasul. But according to Rabbi Yossi, if this boy had a child, that child wouldn't be usher. So then that would mean that here is an example of a case which, according to the way Rabbi Yossi says the rule, there's this subtle difference, because here the child would be mutter to marry a Kohen. What a chap, right? Because according to the Tanakhama, any bia with a Mitzri is usher. Fine. Even if he's a Mitzri Sheni, it's still usher. And therefore, the woman is pasul. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's true that a Mitzri Sheni is usher, but his child won't be usher. And therefore, the big chiddush of Rabbi Yossi is that in that case, the 9-year-old would not pasul this woman. Why? Because his child would be a normal Mitzri Shlishis. Ooh, fascinating. Okay, tomorrow, that's what Hashem, we will get to the distinction again between. First of all, we need to figure out, well, what are they arguing about? Where do they learn it from? Because this is a big chiddush, what Rabbi Yossi is saying. And then we'll get on to understand further, and what is the nafkamina between the way Rabbi Yossi puts it and the way that we have exactly the same thing said at the end by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. To be continued.